This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We spent more buying stuff of all kinds in October. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Retail sales for the month of October. This is spending on everything from wine to cars to furniture to clothing. It rose 1.3%. That was a bit more than expected. So let's figure out what that means for the economy. Scott Wren is senior global market strategist at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute and joins us. Good morning.
Morning, Sabri.
So retail sales rose, you know, but so did prices. So are we just paying more for less, or are we actually buying more?
Well, we are paying more for less. You know, unit volume is really down. It's pricing that has really increased, and that's why these sales numbers are so much higher than a lot of people expect.
Because, you know, some of the big box retailers that have reported this week, reported earnings this week, it's been kind of mixed. Some did better than expectations. Some did much worse. How does that fit in with this?
You know, from our perspective, as we look ahead, we expect falling demand. And then, of course, margins are getting squeezed, too, which you could see that, you know, very broadly in third quarter earnings reports as well. This retail sales number this morning, I mean, this is really not what the Federal Reserve wants to see. I mean, it was pretty much stronger across the board, but we don't think that's a trend that's going to continue.
Yeah, I was going to ask what this suggests for inflation. I mean, if demand is going to fall, does that mean we should see inflation fall too?
We see good things in terms of inflation. Of course, you know, we think we're going to slip into a recession, and that's going to be, you know, a big part of pushing inflation lower.
Scott Wren is senior global market strategist at Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Fabri.
Walmart is joining major pharmacy chains CVS and Walgreens in a landmark opioid settlement with several U.S. states, cities, and Native American tribes. The retail giant has agreed to pay $3.1 billion as part of a tentative agreement. Earlier this month, CVS and Walgreens agreed to pay about $5 billion each. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has more.
Walmart's deal would settle allegations by state and local governments that its pharmacies improperly filled prescriptions for opioids. Steve Skikos, an attorney for Native American tribes in the cases, said the agreement is far from a cure for the opioid crisis, but addresses resulting issues from addiction to homelessness.
Hopefully it will help tribal nations who have been very heavily impacted by this crisis to get some relief.
In a statement, Walmart said it strongly disputes allegations of any wrongdoing. Andrew Paulus, a law professor at Case Western, says the settlement is one of many agreements involving not just pharmacies, but also opioid manufacturers and distributors.
We have never in the history of our country had a litigation quite this big. And so the fact that we have arrived at what appears to be pretty close to the end of it is really quite remarkable.
Taken together, the proposed and finalized settlements amount to more than $50 billion, much of it going to governments. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Some 48,000 teaching assistants, tutors, and researchers didn't show up for work this week at the University of California's 10 campuses. It's what organizers are calling the largest higher education strike in the country's history. Workers say they're not paid enough to live in the expensive cities where their schools are located. They're asking for higher pay, subsidies for childcare, and free public transit passes. The University of California says its proposed wages are near the top of the pay scale when compared to other public universities. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports.
On a regular weekday, Stephanie Redman would be working in a neuroscience laboratory at the University of California, San Francisco, trying to figure out what certain brain cells do. Evidently, that's something we still don't know, but...
And that's one of the questions that's on hold right now.
Redman's one of the workers who went on strike this week. She notes the starting salary for postdoctoral scholars like her is about $56,000 at UCSF. But in San Francisco, median rent on a one-bedroom apartment is over $3,000 a month. Childcare costs can run just as high. So when Redmond had a baby, her family moved to a town 90 minutes away from the school.
That's how my family makes it work. But it shouldn't have to be like that.
One reason non-tenured academics are low paid is that public colleges receive less government funding than they used to. William A. Herbert studies collective bargaining among academics at Hunter College in New York.
As a result, that has caused there to be a push trying to figure out ways to essentially save money.
One way schools are saving money is by relying more on these grad students and postdocs to do the teaching and research that used to be done by tenured professors. Rutgers economist Paul LaVoose says these workers traditionally accepted lower pay in return for the chance to become one of those professors.
That trade-off is not happening in the same way anymore.
That's partly because there are way fewer of those roles to apply for. Less than half of all faculty positions in the U.S. are now tenured. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
A new package of European internet regulations comes into effect today, and what is big for the internet in Europe has implications for the internet and tech companies here. It is called the Digital Services Act. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, is here to explain what it all means. Hi, Victoria.
Hey, Sabri. Good morning.
Morning. So, all right, what does this regulation do?
Well, it's designed really to rein in big tech and protect consumer data and privacy. And as you say, it is a European law, yes, but titans of tech, including the likes of American firms, Amazon, Google, Facebook, they all have to comply because they operate in this region. And so the new rules will apply to all social media platforms, online marketplaces, search engines. They're designed to combat hate speech and disinformation, and they're going to limit how companies can leverage customer data to do things like target ads, or news stories, for example, to certain kinds of users in Europe. Essentially, the rules force companies to be more transparent about how they use algorithms to suggest content.
You mentioned online marketplaces. I mean, that's everything from Amazon to Etsy and secondhand sites, you know, where people buy and sell things to each other. How in particular are marketplaces like that affected?
Well, they have to follow the same guidelines, but a lot of companies have had very frank conversations over the last year or so with regulators to sort of talk about what they feel unevenly applies to them based on their size. So I talked to Carolyn Virant. She's one of those people who's been in talks with those regulators. She chairs the Classifieds Marketplaces Europe Coalition, and she told me how secondhand marketplaces online are working through what compliance looks like for companies like them.
We will have new reporting and transparency obligations. Online platforms must set up internal complaint handling systems and allow for out-of-court dispute settlement.
So Carolyn said they're still trying to figure out exactly how these rules apply. But basically, Sabri, it likely means more employees, which means more costs to ensure compliance is up to snuff. And she added it all depends to how strict regulators are going to be in enforcing these new rules.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, thank you so much.
A pleasure as always. Thanks, Sabri.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.